Hey everyone, welcome back to the Dealing with Life Stuff podcast. My name is Fernando Ceballos.
And I'm Randy Strug.
And welcome to the episode. Developing a ecosystem or developing a platform of vulnerability and just being able to check your ego at the door.
Yep.
And I think that's extremely difficult when we're passionate about certain topics.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm going to allow my emotions to overcome me.
Yep.
Because I'm so passionately driven by the fact that I want this to be true,
mm-hmm.
because these are my beliefs. These are to my core. I want this to be true.
Yeah.
And you're maybe thinking to think the same thing, or you're going to think opposite thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, like, it's extremely difficult to remove my emotions if I've never practiced these things.
Yeah.
And I would say is, if you're going to go through these motions and go through these reps, like, don't let the first time of you trying to do this
mm-hmm.
be the time that matters.
Right.
Like, you have to practice this. Like, the first time me and Brianne, you know, in a relationship, maybe like a year and a half in, like, we would just fucking yell at the top of our lungs to each other.
Mm.
Like, I'm crying, she's crying, and we're just going at it. And it got to a point where, you know what? She just paused and just let me yell. And I'm like, why aren't you yelling back? See, I'm just going to listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept going and going. And then I stopped. And I said, why the fuck am I yelling? Like, why am I crying? Like, why so much emotion?
Mm-hmm.
Let me just say what I need to say.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it was just like her assumptions, my assumptions. It was just one thing after another. And at the end of the day, like, none of us was getting our point across.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to sit here and listen. And if you need a vent, then go ahead and vent. If you need to tell me something, then go ahead and tell me something. But none of this bullshit of tippy-toeing and saying, you know what? I don't want to hurt your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, I'm going to allow myself to get upset about something else and bring something to the table. And all we're going to do is talk over superficial shit and really talk about the problems that we really have at hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, the more reps that me and her got, we were able to get to a point where, like, you know what? Let's have a conversation and you say what you need to say. I'm going to say what I need to say. And granted, we're not perfect.
Yeah.
Like, we're not able to do this all the time. We still yell at each other here and there, but every relationship has those moments, right? Mm-hmm. But the biggest message is, like, you have to practice it with your partners and with your friends of saying, you know what? Let me just slow down.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't understand something, I'm going to tell you I don't understand.
Right.
If I don't agree, I'm going to tell you I don't agree.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to, in the back of my mind, think, what if all of this that I'm being, my vulnerability is going to throw us away?
Yeah.
Like, if my fear of not agreeing with Randy is, like, if the fear of losing Randy as a friend is at the forefront of my mind, like, I'm never going to be able to really be open with Randy.
Right.
But if I'm like, you know what? If he goes, he goes. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. Like, life is life.
Yeah.
Then I can be a lot more vulnerable with you, knowing that I'm not going to fuck something up if I'm honest with myself and with you.
Yeah. No, it's totally true. Like, to me, holding your values above all is the most important thing. And there's a poem that Abraham Lincoln wrote, I memorized it, and I don't know if I still have it memorized, but it's something to the effect of, I'm not bound to win, but I'm bound to be true. I'm not bound to succeed, but I'm bound to live by the light of my life. I must stand by a man when he is true and part with him when he goes wrong. And I think that's totally true, and I think that's a very good encapsulation of what you just said, in the fact that when you are doing something right, I will stand by you 100%. When I see you are doing wrong, I will not be with you on that.
Yeah.
Because it's not black and white. Like, we are going, like, you and I are, we disagree on things all the time, but I think we do a good job of hearing each other out and listening to each other. And, like, cause you've changed my mind on some things, and I feel like I've done the same with you. And I think that's really what it is. It's we are pushing each other to think outside of our parameters and outside of our realities to improve it, not just, you know, to defend our own world.
Yeah, and that's one of the benefits of this podcast, right? If we were to go a little bit meta here, is like the fact that you and I are able to agree with some things, but at the end of the day, we don't agree on a lot of things, right? And I think the benefit of that is we're able to bring a unbiased perspective to these discussions, and we're bringing two different perspectives because, you know, if you end up having co-hosts who just agree with everything, then why have co-hosts? Just have one person talk.
Right.
And I think the fact that we're both being able to bring different perspectives, like, it's extremely it's very beneficial to our audience because they're able to get two different perspectives. And people tell me all the time, it's like, you guys have very different personalities, but you guys work together.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's also the fact that you and I really have, when we say something, it's that something that we've really thought out and that we're really willing to have, like, a discourse with.
Yeah. Cause I mean, it's tricky. Like, brainstorming and riffing, or riffing, is that how you say it?
Yeah, riff.
On in this particular platform, in a podcast setting, it's tough because in the back of your mind, you're thinking, who's going to take these things and where's it going to end up?
Yeah.
But nonetheless, like, we don't want to misinform people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think you and I do a good job of saying, you know what, let's just go ahead and brainstorm on some topics.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, this is beneficial. And I think some people can kind of take the idea of, hey, maybe they're just role playing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're able to understand, like, how we go about you and I, well, how we were to go about this type of discussion.
Right.
And they wanted to emulate that in their lives.
Yeah. And I think that's, we should all do that. And I'll give a anecdote real quick. I have a good friend, and I'm still a good friend with him. And we were working on something together, and they liked to play devil's advocate, which, cool, let's do it. But every time I would push back on their challenge to me, like, they backed down immediately because they didn't have a solid foundation for their own challenge. And I think that's because this person doesn't hang around people who will challenge them. I think this person's used to being the smartest person in the room, and they're not used to being challenged like that. And so when I challenged them and they didn't have, like, a logical reasoning for their argument, like, they felt uncomfortable. But to me, I felt like that's just the kind of person I am. Yeah. And we end up not being able to work on this project together, but it is
what it is.
That's
just a shitty way to live.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still a devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. I used to be a lot more devil's advocate before, but it was always for the benefit of the group.
Right.
And so I would be devil's advocate, and I would go through the thing, and I would take my argument as far as I possibly could.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of it, like, if I was convinced that we were all good,
mm-hmm.
I would say, hey, I wasn't trying to be a dick or anything.
Right.
I just wanted to make sure that I was prepared to go and defend this topic
mm-hmm.
based on the questions that I thought somebody else would come after me.
Right.
Now that I've been able to role play to be that person that I think I'm going to encounter one day,
mm-hmm.
I feel empowered enough to mm-hmm. go and move forward with this particular thing. And so, unfortunately, people were always think like, hey, Franz is being a dick, or he's just going to be devil's advocate, so let me just prepare for this.
Mm-hmm.
After a while, I stopped doing that because people started thinking that I was just this person who just wanted to always be against other people. But it wasn't even that. It was just me. Some people were offended at the fact that I would always challenge them.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't that I was trying to come after them.
Right.
I was coming after the topic that we were talking about.
Right. And, like, I think that's a perfect thing, perfectly fine thing to do. And, like, I always appreciate when people challenge me on stuff because it helps me to reevaluate and be like, okay, well, this is a new thing I haven't thought of, or maybe I have thought of this argument and I'm ready to, like, duke it out more or less. But it's important to still be willing to hear out the arguments, because then you can have a friendly conversation, be like, okay, well, let's play this out. Well, how is this different from my argument? What do we have in common here? What has the most logical basis and logical foundation?
As my leadership skills have evolved, I've learned that being devil's advocate and being that one person going against the team is not the most constructive way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So now what I do is, again, not that I believe in groupthink, but in the project setting perspective, it's more about the groupthink. Let's point out all of the different loopholes.
Yeah.
Let's point out all the different holes. Let's point out the different things that can the opportunities and the threats
right.
that our project has to encounter.
Right.
And I think from that perspective, it's more about, hey, collectively,
mm-hmm.
let's have this discussion and say, okay, what are the things that we were scared of encountering,
mm-hmm.
rather than being Fernando, the anointed
mm-hmm.
devil's advocate, to always be the one to poke holes in people's thoughts,
right?
Because then they never want to bring you an idea because they think you're gonna tear them down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and don't ever be afraid to, like, be the one that stands out either.
Oh,
like,
no, I'm not.
Yeah. And I'm.
This is more like, you know, you're gonna work with these group of people.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. There's an art to the soft skills, and there's an art to having that conversation, but it's something that accumulates over practice, like we've talked about. It's like for an example of where we're coming from, let's say Fernando said, all right, Randy, we need to buy a piece of land and build a building so we can record a podcast. And I would say, with what money are we going to do that? What time are we going to find to do that? That sounds ridiculous right now. And in the case of my friend would back down immediately after I said something like that. But you would say, okay, well, actually, Randy, we'll think about let's say we go raise funds. Let's do a, you know,
Kickstarter.
A Kickstarter, something like that. Well, that's, and it's like, okay, well, okay, maybe that's something. Well, let's, all right, well, let's talk about that. What are the avenues we could do to raise money to go do something that? What are the benefits of doing that versus just immediately like shutting down?
Right.
Or me trying to shut you down, I could say, like, oh, you've presented this premise. I'm presenting a counter to it. You're presenting like your reasoning for your premise. So, all right, well, let's explore these two options now. Yeah. And break it down.
I mean, even something as trivial as going out to eat with your partner, right?
Yeah.
Like if someone says, hey, I want to eat Chinese food, and this person just says, no, I want American, or I want a burger.
Mm-hmm.
And the girlfriend's willing to say, okay, cool.
Right.
Oh, I mean, what if she were to fight back and say, oh, I don't want a burger. I want this instead.
Mm-hmm.
He just shuts down, right? Mm-hmm. And I think some people just don't get those reps. Like, cause their whole life, they get what they want.
Right. Whereas, like, in this example, you could say, like, you know what? Okay, well, we can grab a burger this time, but I'm picking next time. Yeah. You know, you can make it playful, and you can remind them at that point. Like, no, you said I get to pick next time. You agreed to that. That's why we got, you know, Chinese food or burgers, you know?
It's an art, man. Like, the leadership and the communication and just the dialogue that you... I mean, when things get tough, mm-hmm. if you don't have the reps, like, you're going to crumble.
Yeah.
And I think that's why they say, like, you have to get the reps in when it comes to debate.
Mm-hmm.
I think debate and critical thinking are some of those skill sets that, you know, if you guys have kids or if you guys have cousins or sisters or brothers, whatever the case is,
mm-hmm.
like, if you can convince them to develop those skill sets in a high school or even a collegiate level,
mm-hmm.
like, if you have those, if you're good at those two skill sets, mm-hmm. once you get to the industry, into the quote-unquote real world,
yeah.
like, you'll be able to be more successful than your peers, because right now our generation is not developing that skill set.
Right.
And like, and now we even have the TikTok world, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to shit on an app. Like, TikTok has a lot of value too, but from the stigma perspective, the negative stuff,
mm-hmm.
it's not developing the most constructive individuals that are going to be able to go to school and actually learn the things that they need to learn.
Right. We're teaching kids to be dependent versus independent, which is, I think, the most dangerous thing we could ever do. There's a book that's free on Audible. I haven't read it yet, but it's by Leonard Peikoff, who I respect a lot as a thinker. And the book is called Teaching Johnny to Think. And it's all about prepping the next generation for how to critically think. And it's a short book. It's only like 4.5 hours on Audible, but it's free. Like, I, you know, if you like something worth checking out and thinking about resources that you can use to help develop kids.
Well, the fear is being plugged in.
Sure, sure.
Right? Like, I'm not saying the book. I'm saying, from a generational standpoint,
mm-hmm.
like and I'm sure every generation says this, right?
Mm-hmm.
A new thing comes out and like they're scared about the youth because mm-hmm. they're gonna fuck everything up. But with the phone, with the way technology has evolved, like we're more plugged in now
mm-hmm.
than we've ever been.
Yeah.
Right. And it's kind of hypocritical again with the idea that we have a podcast and they're plugged in, but nonetheless, you have to find pockets in your life where you can unplug.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't be so engrossed all the time in what's going on around you. Like, there's a... Gosh, I read some Wall Street Journal review of this book, and it was the most asinine thing I'd ever read. Not the article itself, but the author wrote this book. I don't remember what it was, but the guy was basically saying that we should shape society from the outside in, and that is the most ass-backwards thing I've ever heard. Society is created by the individual outward. So if you're plugged in to what's going on around you the whole time, you're never going to have the opportunity to develop inwardly. And it's through inward evolution that we're able to help shape the world around us. We have to start with the things we can control first, and that's usually things that are internal, individual responsibilities, and then from there you can go outward.
When you said that, all I thought of was like putting bubble wrap in my hand and just pushing it all in and just seeing all those little bubbles just pop. Like, you, when you go from the outside in, like you're destroying the individual's thoughts,
right?
You're destroying individual lives, and to me, life should be a collection of individual emotions and individual thoughts coming together
mm-hmm.
to move forward as a society.
Yeah.
And I think like that's the beautiful thing. Everybody brings a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But if everybody thinks the same and everybody does the same thing,
mm-hmm.
like it's, I don't know.
Like, yeah.
Well, and again, we can go into like super philosophical stuff, but at the end of the day, like, it's depressing to know that everyone is becoming the same person one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because we're being educated in a certain way to develop the same thought process.
Mm-hmm.
It's because we're just being fed all of this information.
You're being told what to think.
Yeah.
And you're letting people do that to you.
Yeah.
Which I think is the biggest betrayal of your own self. You were given such a wonderful opportunity to be who you are and to think for yourself.
Well, I threw out the terminology groupthink a little bit earlier, right? And I think I'm more of a believer in the collection of individual thoughts than groupthink.
Mm-hmm.
And you could back up from a helicopter view and say, "Well, that's the same thing," but it really isn't, right? Because it's a difference between saying, as a group, we're going to all believe the same thing because Randy knows better, and he's going to tell us that we should all believe the same thing,
right?
Rather than having a collection of individual thoughts that everybody has become their own person, and collectively we've decided to say, you know what, we are all 68% alike, and we're going to move forward and march on this thought process of what we all believe collectively,
right?
But the 32% that we don't agree with is going to allow us to have the freedom to pivot as we want,
right,
as we move forward with our thought process,
right? And you know, if you are on the periphery inside of that 32% in this example, if you're going to present something that goes against the norm, you better be prepared to back it up too. And that requires individual intellectual self-reliance. And that's a tough thing to do, and it's a tough thing to ask for. But would you rather be subject to the rule of somebody else, to another tyrant, or like, are you willing to take on the responsibility of figuring it out for yourself?
Well, the part that's exhausting is, where do you go find that these days, right?
Mm.
Because everywhere you go, it's, am I falling into the group think, or am I really developing my own thought process?
Right. Well, I think the first step is learning how to critically think. So we talked about it earlier, but I'm reading a book called Socratic Logic, because, you know, Socrates is kind of the father of critical thinking, as far as I can tell. So I'm like, you know what, I should go learn from the father of logic and thinking critically. And I read a biography on Benjamin Franklin this year so far, and Ben Franklin is referenced as using the Socratic method and Socratic logic to win debates and to, you know, to help to be persuasive, but in a non-combative way. Because that's what it's about.
Well, a lot of the founding fathers were Stoics in one way or another.
Yeah, well, George Washington read Cato play, Benjamin Franklin. I know there was some involvement there. Thomas Jefferson. They were big fans of the Stoics and taking on individual responsibility.
Yeah.
And so in the last couple months, I read a biography on Washington and Franklin now, and I've got John Adams on deck and Jefferson after that. I'm just going to go through and read more about the founding fathers. So quick anecdote.
I took you somewhere. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's fine. ADD brain kicked in, but I want to make a quick anecdote, which is really interesting. When George Washington was president, they had an outbreak of yellow fever in Pennsylvania, where the capital was, and they specifically did not shut things down because it was a breach of civil liberties. Just wanted to throw that out there real quick. But yeah, there's a reason these ideas are true across instances of time. There's a reason for that, and we should take that seriously. And if we're going to go against those ideas, we better have a damn good reason why. And you can look at the postmodernists or the social constructionists and their view that, you know, there are infinite number of ways to interpret the world. It's like, okay, yeah, fair enough. But very few of those are actually going to be productive towards achieving, you know, prosperity for yourself, for not only yourself, but for your family, your friends, your community, and the world at large across instances of time simultaneously. And that's a very few number of realities that you can inhabit and perceive the world through. And if you're just going to accept that, well, there are a number of interpretations to see the world, nothing matters, whatever. Well, that's the most nihilistic thing I've ever heard. You're in effect being a detriment to society in that instance, rather than productive and helpful.
Well, you said earlier individual responsibility, and I think so many people don't want to take that individual responsibility these days.
Yep.
And again, it is a blanket statement. I feel like sometimes I have conversations like these with people.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to just explain myself for a second.
Yeah.
And the people I talk to don't fall into this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the some of the media that I consume, like, I see this at a mass. Like, so many people don't want to take individual responsibility.
Yep.
And what I mean by that is, everyone is hoping that if I can get 9 of my friends and we all give a 10%, we can make a difference, mm-hmm. rather than saying let's all give 100% mm-hmm. and let's see what type of difference we can make.
Right.
And I think so many people just from that perspective is let's just collectively care mm-hmm. and hope that we make a difference, right. rather than saying like let's all fucking fully commit and let's change this shit and then we go on to the next problem and the next problem. Mm-hmm. And I think so many people aren't willing to take that individual responsibility to, I'm not saying become a martyr. Right. I'm not saying like, you know, give up your life and you know, go after certain things that you want to, this world to change. Mm-hmm. But I just don't see enough people collectively giving their individual responsibility to the issues that we have at hand to right. make a difference.
Right.
Because I see so many people like, okay, they go buy a house, they give 20% here and there, and they just, every so often they will make a difference because they'll make a post online, right?
Right.
Or that article that you're talking about, like yeah. that really hit a nerve with me. This is off the line. We've talked about this. You guys can look up that article by God Sod.
Yeah, God Sod. Yeah.
God Sod. And I think, you know, you just posting a picture here and there, like, mm-hmm. is not making a difference.
Right.
You having a voice the whole year is what's making a difference.
Right. To kind of quickly summarize God Sod's point, there's virtue signaling, and then there's actual willingness to die for your beliefs. So he made the comment about Seth Rogen being a hypocrite, and then he talked about a journalist in Saudi Arabia actively speaking out against the Saudi regime, knowing that he could lose his life for doing it, but because he individually believes it is the right thing to do. And you talked about martyr, and I'm glad you used that word, because I had a great conversation with my coworker yesterday about martyrdom. And martyrdom is not sacrificing yourself for glory. Martyrdom is being willing to die for your beliefs,
yeah.
and not even feeling the need to defend yourself for it. So Socrates is the perfect example. The death of Socrates. You know, they called him to trial and were ready to execute him.
Take him to the sauna.
Yeah, and he was just like, you know, he didn't need to defend himself. He was like, I know what I stand for. The people around me know what I stand for. I have no need to defend myself to you. You're accusing me of this, and by your rules, I am guilty. Okay, well, I don't recognize your rules, but I live in your society. Like, do what you got to do. And I've done what I've got to do. You do what you got to do.
Yeah.
And that he wasn't doing it for glory. He did it because he was ready to die for his beliefs. And I kind of think about that personally. It's a little extreme, but everything I say, I try to think of it from the perspective of, am I willing to die for what I'm about to say? And that's a pretty steep
It's scary, right? Because, you know, even this podcast, right, we don't say super controversial things, but
yeah,
just the lives that we live, you know, I think about it as anybody can look up where I live.
Mm.
Anybody can come in here and just like take me out, right?
Sure.
And I think just the idea of having becoming a public figure, mm-hmm. and being out there and putting your voice out there,
mm-hmm.
it's a scary thought.
Yeah.
But, you know, how are we going to make a difference if we don't try to make a difference?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea of sometimes, I mean, I get a little bit, you know, pessimistic in my mind. I'm like, you know, am I really going to make a difference if I continue to do what I'm doing?
Mm-hmm.
Right. What if somebody gets pissed off because something I say and they come after me?
Right.
Like, I don't have this huge, you know, following. I don't have this huge voice out there.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to go out, people would be sad and the world would move on.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm doing what I can.
Right.
And I think as I grow as an individual and I develop, you know, my own financial, you know, opportunities to be able to make a bigger difference and a bigger splash,
mm-hmm.
then I will grow in that regard. But, you know, just the idea of doing what I can is important. And I think mm-hmm. sometimes people feel like their voices are so small that they're insignificant and that their 100% isn't even worth giving.
Right.
And I think that's bullshit. Like that's everybody. Nihilism, yeah.
That's how you gab the Columbine shooters. It's a dark path to go down. I don't recommend it. Because you start to feel like, oh, well, nothing matters. Well, you know, and then it goes further. Like, well, not only does nothing matter, but people are actually terrible, and people should, you know, I should stop them. Like, yeah. People are a blight. Well, that is a terrible way to do things when we have all these wonderful things that we can strive for and achieve together too. And it's easy to get lost in the sauce, so to speak, of going down that dark rabbit hole.
Yeah.
It's tempting. It's very easy to go down, and it's rational too, which is the scary thing. But you have to understand the argument to do good and to care about people is also equally as rational. If anything, it's more rational in my opinion, which is why I tend to go by that route in my perception of the world, and that, hey, we can do great things together if we're willing to understand that we have the choice between right and wrong, and if we know the difference between right and wrong, and we can voluntarily choose to do the right thing. Thanks for listening to this week's episode. We'll catch you next week.